Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 9 Years podcast, episode 320. I am Nick Draper. I am joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. We are talking football this week. Stu, let's get straight into it. We lost 3-2 on Easter Monday at home to Salford City. Came 3 days after we'd thrown away a 2-0 lead away at Harrogate Town and conceded a 97th-minute equaliser. Takes our total of dropped points from winning positions to 35 for this campaign. Let's start with the Salford game, though. Because nobody can surely, I'm trying to think, even in the CCL days, maybe a 5-3 win at Chessington and Hook United, where there were lots of goals, maybe that was similar. But no, nothing quite to the extent of 90th minute, winning 2-1, seeing out the game pretty comfortably, in truth. And then in the space of 5 minutes, we give them a penalty. Nathan Broom saves the penalty. And then they go and score twice anyway and win the game anyway. Nothing. Anything like this at all that you can remember?
No. We are finding the most weird and wonderful ways of losing games from winning positions, aren't we? It's mind-boggling. It's like, I think I want to say I'm finding it funny, but I'm just not finding anything surprising. Mm. Even to that extent, I must admit, like, to be fair, Mundy caught me unawares because obviously he saved the penalty, which I wasn't expecting. That was a good save. Then we conceded the goal, and you're like, But then actually, I switched off, probably like most of the Wimbledon players, because the next time I look up, ball's going into the box and they score. And I'm like, how the hell have they got the ball back so quickly? It's just, yeah, I've never seen anything like it. And I was sitting in front of, I was sitting behind the Salford bench, and Neil Wood was distraught, penalty save. And literally he was on his feet, and then he just slumped into his chair. But 4 minutes later, he's running down the touchline like a Jose Mourinho to the small band of Salford fans that had arrived at Plough Lane on Monday.
Mm. I mean, to go back on a couple of things you say there, it does feel like the squad, well, in fact, I say the squad, well, I suppose a few within the squad were there last season. Just feels like we're finding the most, as you say, like new and exciting ways to not win football matches. And we try and top it every single week. Even going back to, about this time last year, when we thought, well, we'll go away to already relegated Crewe and we'll take a nice 1-0 lead. What will we do? Tell you what, we'll get our centre forward to play a back pass 40 yards straight to the feet of their player to give him an easy tap in for an equaliser. We'll go away to Fleetwood in a relegation 6-pointer, and our goalkeeper will give them a dodgy free kick because he touched the ball twice on his own free kick to give them an 88th minute equaliser that pretty much sends us down. We go to Sheffield Wednesday and somehow get to 1-1 in injury time against a team going for promotion, big, big club, and yeah, we just give them a goal in the last minute. Just all the time. It's like, who else can we do it again? Who else did we do? Just all the time. Like Wickham last season. If it wasn't Akinfenwa scoring a winner against us, an equaliser against us at Plough Lane, it was going 2-1 up in injury time and then giving them a penalty to equalise in the 6 minute of injury time. It's just unbelievable. This 18 months, I said it on Twitter, it is like all, as I used to say to you, this little guardian angel we have on our shoulder all throughout our journey back into the Football League. Think about all the moments that went for us, be it recalling Mark Dybala for a playoff final, having not played for us for months, and he scores a late winner with an incredible free kick. Or it's going to the City of Manchester Stadium, and Jason Walker somehow manages to head the ball against the inside of the post, and it bounces out at the right angle for Seb Brown to catch it. Or it's, again, going to Luton and Steve Seddon somehow nudging an equaliser with like our only shot in the second half. And all these things that we used to go for us all the time. Going away to Torquay United under Neil Ardley and somehow getting a last-minute penalty. Doing the same against Rochdale a few years later to win 4-3 in a midweek. Joe Piggott again at home to Rochdale not so much longer afterwards. All these things that just seem to go for us all the time. And it's just been claimed back in stereo after the last 18 months.
It's not funny, is it? And this is the thing, isn't it? You know, people look at this season of like 35 points drop from win positions, but it was over 30 points we did the relegation season from the League One. So, I think in 2 seasons we've dropped about 70 odd points from winning positions. Like we could be in a championship by now.
Well, at
We could
least
have
some
met
point
our
in the next 5
target.
years.
Yeah, not doing five, we're going to do it in two. But yeah, hey, look, it's weird, isn't it? I've had mates who have said, like, it's obviously the tweets have been going around about with the Harrogate. You've seen the ones with the BBC scores, like the Harrogate and Salford, and like they're going, and I'm like, that's nothing. We've been doing it all season. That ain't just Easter. We don't just give away freebies at Easter. We give them away all year round. And when you look at it, like I think someone put it in black and white, in terms of the amount of, I even forgot about the one in. I know you obviously you don't like the pizza trophy, but we were 3-0 up at Pompey. It's not Pompey, wrong place.
Plymouth.
Got confused there. Sorry, I got confused there about their rivals. Plymouth. We were 3-0 up at Plymouth, remember? And we threw that one away. I forgot about that one. Like we've done it so many times, I've forgotten. It's oh no. Do you know what? It's we've got 4 games to go. 4 games to go, and it's mentality, isn't it? It's mentality. Salford, I think it was weak minds, if I'm being honest with you. I think they did. I know I've chatted to a few people and they're not so sure, but Salford shift you around all game. And I think sometimes that adrenaline, I think the equaliser just done us. The adrenaline went, and all of a sudden they were tired mentally, because the last goal is a car crash, of a goal. I don't know. I don't want to watch it. I've watched it back, and I'm still looking, thinking,
Yeah.
how we managed to do this.
The thing with Salford, as you say, the manager and how he reacted after they missed the penalty or had the penalty saved and he thought it was game over. I thought my instinct was telling me that they weren't going to score the penalty. And I'll tell you for why I thought that. Firstly, because I know you'll say they move the ball around and they pass and they pass, they pass. And it's very exhausting when the opposition's got possession for. But their manager was just so frustrated because they passed and popped, they didn't get anywhere. And on the odd occasion where they got in a position to try and get a ball in the box, they misplaced a pass, they misplaced a cross. Nathan Broome didn't. There were 4 shots on target in the whole game, one of the penalty, and then the 3 goals. And apart from that, Nathan Broome didn't have a save to make. So when it came to them, I thought they've lucked out. I was sat there going, they've lucked out because this is Wimbledon and this is what we do. They've lucked out getting a penalty in injury time to get an equaliser. At that point, all everyone is thinking is, we've done it again and conceded a last minute injury time equaliser. No one was thinking about anything worse than a point at that stage. And there was also a very long time before the penalty was awarded and it was actually taken. And they'd lost on Friday. They're going for promotion. It was a pressure penalty for them. And in the end, he took a poor penalty. So that did not surprise me. I actually thought the whole way that second half felt was like Salford have really just, I felt they'd underperformed. And they were going to end up with one of those rarest of rare things, 2 defeats over a bank holiday weekend. Ah, then no, for fuck's sake. And then, as you say, it's kind of like, but you know what? The ball where it got tapped into the empty net for the equaliser, and it was just a shrug of shoulders, kind of like, yeah, of course that happened. Of course that happened.
Yeah, just right off the back of a player, didn't it? Just right off the back of a player. I can't remember who was marking now. I know Woody's got some grief about the second goal, but then there's I'm not afraid the ball goes out to the touchline, comes back in, and
Yeah, so
before.
a lot happens between Woody
Yeah,
not
but
clearing it and yeah.
I think at the moment, I think we're just getting players that are just being. I think Woody's just an easy target, if I'm being honest with you on that. But I would say to you, he's a desperate lunge for the third goal. When you look back at it,
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but it was like slow motion. It was like slow motion, that goal, because it was cut back and it actually got deflected. Woody was going to have it and it got deflected and then took Woody out of the game, but in slow motion. And it just was one of those. He could even, could even take a touch. And then shoot. I think, if you look at comebacks, you can't, if you're a Salford fan, you can be watching that back and just go, wow. And even though, like, I think I've just resigned my fact this season that it's just been a car crash this season, just get it done. But, when Neil Wood was running down the touchline, in a way, I was like, fair play. Because, it's just like, I'm thinking, fair play. You've won a game you've snatched a win from losing it. And well done. I'm not surprised because we're the most welcoming team ever. Come to Plough Lane and take what you want. including anywhere you sit where you want as well, you know, that sort of side of it. But I'm just resigned to the fact. I just like, just get the season done. We're not going to go up. We're not going to go down. We're getting to the, we know we need to get to the summer window. The players that we're not keeping are let, you know, informed, and we just move on, you know, and get these, like you say, these 18 months. We've got to make Plough Lane a bit more intimidating. Like I did a tour, and I keep saying to people, like, we're nice, really. Like, because the old days, we wouldn't put plaster in on the walls. We wouldn't put heating on.
Yeah.
But we're really nice to people. Like, can we just get, just turn the lights out, give them rubbish footballs, just be horrible. Like, I don't want anyone liking us anymore.
No, everyone loves us at the minute because, you know, they get points off us. Everyone. Who have we doubled this season? We did double Colchester, to be fair. We did take 6 points of Colchester.
Yeah, I don't know. I know the ones that done doubles over us, Sutton.
Well, we know that Sutton have done double over us, certainly. And a couple of
Yeah.
others, but yeah, anyway, hey, it is, as they say, it is what it is. I do look back to Saturday. So off the back of the Harrogate, I mean, you talk about Woody and the defending before Salford's equaliser and the winning goal for Salford. You look back to our defending for both goals against Harrogate and just again,
Yeah.
panic stations. It looked like I said, we interviewed Harry Pell before the Salford game on 9 Years TV, which is available on the AFC Wimbledon Facebook and YouTube channels. If you want to scout back and have a watch of that, we asked him about losing leads and whether it's a mental thing. And he did seem to suggest that once it's in the back of your head, you just feel like it's going to happen. And that's what it sensed at Harrogate. It sensed like we were on the back foot, we were defending, and people started panicking because they were worried it was going to happen again. And when you think like that, that tends to be what happens, and it's
Yeah.
panic stations, absolute panic stations. The big thing about Salford, as we said before the game as well, is they had subs to bring on. So there's a few people who have been asking about Johnny Jackson, and maybe he should have made some substitutions on Monday to see the game out. A little bit more experience maybe on the pitch, because we had a very young side, especially with Aaron Pierre being teft to be coming off at half time for Luke
Yeah.
Jenkins. But we didn't have, what was our option? They had Matt Smith to come on. And, you know, winning goal comes because you just, you, well, two of their goals come because you knock a high ball up in the air and he wins the header because no one can get near him. No one on our side can get anywhere near him to challenge the header or win a header there. And
Yeah,
what
but
options did
Salford
we
do.
have?
We didn't. But Salford do it a lot. You know, they play with Hendry. They play with a three. Played with Hendry, Bolton on the right hand side. We gave, let's
Very
be
good.
fair,
I thought it
that
was,
first start.
yeah.
I know what you're saying in terms of what did Broom have to say, but the amount of times Jack Curry got turned, because Hendry would either stay up front, or he'd come in the hole, and no one knew who to pick him up. But then in the second half, what they did, because that wasn't working well, they decided they brought a midfielder off and put Wood up and put Smith up there.
Yeah.
He's got 9 goals this season, and he's played mostly on the bench. I don't think he's started many games. So they, even though they love class, they play a lovely game. I must admit, I would love to watch a team like that. I think they're really good to watch. But equally, they're not stupid enough to go, that's the only way to win a football match. And they brought a big lad on, and unfortunately, Luke Jenkins replaced Aaron
Yeah.
Pierre. And yeah, look, hey, look, it's a mistake for the first goal, but I thought Luke Jenkins grew into the game. I think he's a very good. I think he's a very good prospect for the future. You know, played at Barrow, scored a goal. Not just he scored a goal, but defensively he was okay. But yeah, they just change it. I think, you know what, and I didn't think this at the time, so I'm not going to say all of a sudden I knew the answers. But some people did say that. Why do we not, you know, a tour? Why do we not bring a sub on to try and kill the momentum and stuff like that? Because we had Gunter,
Lee Brown.
Lee Brown. Yeah, why do we not do it? I didn't think that at the time, but yes, that could have been something that we could have done. Well, I think we did have two more windows open where we could have done subs, you know. But I think it's, why do we not do that? I don't know. You know, did we think we could still get the third? Did we think, you know, we in the end we just hang on for a 2-2 draw? And I suppose whatever you got, even if you drew 2-2, that's after Saturday at Harrogate. That's again not, say not acceptable, but it just looks weak, doesn't it? But yeah, do you know what? Anything at Harrogate, I think people are going to chuck. I think when you if people are going to chuck subs on and try and change the game, and it's not uncommon for a game to end with the Alamo being sent. But I think the problem we had is that they obviously saw Nathan Broom as a weak on set pieces, corners, and people were saying we had everyone in the 6 yard area. Well, we did, because they put everyone in the 6 yard area as well and got the keeper out. So it's all right saying, well, but the problem you've got, if people are going to swarm your goalkeeper, then you've got no choice. You've got to put them in there. And but hey, look, we can see the goal. And I laughed. I literally laughed. My wife was like, we've thrown it away again, haven't we? Like, my wife just knows it now. Do you know what I mean? But I laughed. But actually, that was nothing compared to what was going to happen 2 days later.
Well, the main thing about Salford games, you say, is yes, okay, substitutions could have been made. I thought, as I said, I know what you're saying about how Salford play and everything like that, but I did think, I mean, to be honest with you, it was flashbacks to when, and I know we've done this twice against Doncaster over the last 18 months, but the first time we threw away a two-goal lead at home to Doncaster, the first time when we'd gone probably, about, what was it, 12 or 13 without a win by that stage, and we went 2-0 up early in the second half. And I remember saying to people, I was actually bored. I was sitting there bored. Like, we were winning 2-0. Great. We've not won a game for ages. This is just what we needed. But it was boring as anything. Second half against Salford, I've got to be honest with you, it was, as soon as we went 2-1 up, dull as anything. The half hour after that, 35 minutes after that, most really boring, nothing happening game. We created one chance. McAteer should have done better with the finish. Other than that, really, really boring. So I wouldn't have made a change. If we'd have made a change and brought on a Gunter or a Brown, and then that game played out exactly as it did anyway, everyone would be on Johnny Jackson going, why did you make the change? There was no need to make a change, especially with those two individuals who are not the most popular from what I glean from the people I speak to amongst the fan base right now. Okay. So they would have been unhappy if that substitution had been made, if things had gone. And then Jackson, basically what I'm saying is there'd been no win situation there for Johnny Jackson, whatever he did. After they equalised, after Salford equalised, I'm sorry, surely everybody just thought that was it. There wasn't even anyone thinking that there was going to be another goal.
No, right. That's what I'm saying. I was sitting over the media area and I just slumped in my seat and I was just not really, I was like, I can't believe we've done it again. And it's only when I watched it back that I realised how we lost the ball from kickoff. Like,
yeah.
And that's the silly thing about it, isn't it? You know, But it's a mentality thing. It's a mentality thing. And you're right, Harry Fell did say that you know, when you win games, I think he said, like, you know, when you're on that winning run, you don't believe you're going to, you just don't believe you're not going to win a game.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a mind. Hey, look, we scored the first goal on Monday, and I said to George next to me, here we go. Because I'm going in my head, you know, what's that? I don't know. Was it a ninth, tenth game in the,
yeah,
that we've taken? It's just like, and the funny thing is, you know, Al Hamadi got his eighth goal of the season.
Yeah.
He's only been here since January.
Yeah, I know, but my
and he
my...
could have scored, and let's be fair, he had chances to score others as well. He hit at double figures for him in the season. But there's no doubt about that.
But my favourite stat about Ali Al Hamadi is so 8 goals for us now. 8 goals for us now, right? If you take his goals away, we would be 2 points worth off. So his goals have only actually contributed 2 points, which is the same amount of points that Courtney Senior's one goal has picked up for us this season. That's insane. What an insane statistic.
It's a mad stat.
Lies down statistics, of course, but I mean, I don't know, people might read into that. It'd be interesting to see points per game of players. That's been something that came up on Twitter, but anyway, that's probably enough misery for the moment, isn't it? By the way, I also had no problem whatsoever. I couldn't believe I saw people were actually having a go at Salford for celebrating. I was thinking, what did you think they were going to do? They just scored twice in injury time to come from behind to win a game. Do they think they're going to apologise to you behind the goal?
Yeah, and do you know what? They've been in and out of the playoff positions all season, and it's going to be, I think you could have probably argued that if they'd lost that game, the way the results went elsewhere, that would have been difficult for them to get back into the playoffs. But hey, look, we're not involved in them, and we're not involved either end of the table. And I was saying on the live show that I think the playoffs are going to be really exciting this season in that league. And the relegation battle is going to go probably down to the wire. Hopefully, with us not in, well, say hopefully, we're not involved in it. Let's be blunt. We're not going to get caught up in that. I know. I look, if you're a Crawley fan, you're not looking at Wimbledon going there catchable, are you? Do you know what I mean? We're quite way off that. But the game, I know we're going to review the Steamish games soon, but Steamish dropped down to fifth in the table after being second for so long. And you have to look at that and think, hey, look, we're pretty going and playing them at the right time. I know they'd be saying that to us on that sort of side of it,
Surely
but it...
every team is playing us at the right time now. Surely. All right, Warsaw aside, do you know what? There seems to be two teams at the moment that are absolutely worse than us, even though technically we are still bottom of the form table over the past like 3 years or something. But like currently in League Two, Warsaw and Swindon do actually appear to be at least, if not worse, as bad as us. So it's not just us, and thankfully we've got Swindon coming up soon. Crawley, Stew, right? Their last five games, the aforementioned Swindon. You take that. That's exactly the sort of game you want if you need to pick up points, all right? Down the bottom of the table. Their other four remaining fixtures: the aforementioned Walsall, Tranmere at home. So there you go, Tranmere again, not great, and then Colchester and Hartlepool. So, yeah. What a great five fixtures for Crawley. I don't think I'm not right. I'm not ruling them out of anything.
No, well, the Swindon thing is obviously their former manager, isn't it? Because their manager left Swindon to go to Crawley. So it's probably a bit of, there might be a little bit of needle in that.
Plus, okay. Anyway, go on, yes, sorry.
Tranmere have just sacked the manager, haven't they, with that? And then Hartlepool and hey look, Hartlepool, as you say, Hartlepool and Colchester, is it Colchester?
Yeah, so big six pointers there.
Hey look, do you know what? If you look at Hartlepool and Rochdale, they're winning games. Rochdale back to back wins. I don't know if they've done that much this season, probably not. Of course, we started it for them. You know, if anyone's going to start a run for anybody, we're the place you want to come to. But hey look, we're safe, we're going to win at Stevenage, John. We're going to win at Stevenage, or at least we're going to score the first goal. I don't think
Probably a
you can get
safe
odds on.
bet. We're
I
going
don't
to
think you can
score the
get odds
first
on that
goal.
now, will
No, I think that's pretty a safe bet, to be honest with you. Although Stevenage, I mean, we'll have a quick look at Stevenage now. You're right, they have dropped down to fifth, and we thought at one point they were actually going to overtake Leyton Orient because Leyton Orient went on. By the way, Leyton Orient haven't actually won that many games. I think they're unbeaten in something like 12 or 13, but they're barely winning it.
They've drawn. I think they've drawn four out of the last five.
Yeah.
So yeah, but that happens when you're at the top of the table, isn't it? Because you know, getting over that finishing line is always supposed to be very difficult, isn't it? That sort of side of it. So, but yeah,
Yes.
but I think the interesting thing is obviously Carlisle. Do you know what? Carlisle, I was in shock. Carlisle actually felt, I think Carlisle had 15,000 for their
Yeah,
game.
Tranmere,
They
yeah.
sold out the goal behind the goal behind the
The
goal,
goal
the
behind
stand behind the goal.
the goal behind the stand.
The stand behind the goal, which is never even, no one ever, no, I think anyone's ever been alive in that place. They sold that out. Talk about glory hunters coming in. Like, they just got glory hunters coming from north of the border.
Do you know what we need to? I need to, because I saw this as well, because I was quite frustrated watching the goals back on the highlight show, because I hadn't really paid any attention to it. And I saw on the highlight show, and I saw, as you say, four with home fans behind the goal scored both their goals. And I thought either there's a big attendance or there's some sort of special ticket offer for them on that particular day, or something's going on. There's building work or something behind the other goal. They've had to close the other stand. But the highlights
Border
never
going up.
showed. They never showed the other end. So I was like, for God's sake.
No, I think they're 15,000. That
They did. Yeah, they're 13,000, I
that
think.
ground is a big old ground, you know.
Yeah.
No one lives up there, do they? Do you know what I mean? So I don't know what the point of having a big ground like that is. But yeah, would it be interesting, Carl? I think Carlisle, and to be honest, and to be fair, when we played Carlisle's come down to our place. I thought one of the better teams down our end. So yeah, it's interesting. Northampton, look, Northampton
Problems.
should get up, shouldn't they? But then they fought out last year. So
Well, yeah.
we talk about mentality. If Northampton blow it this year, then you'll see most of that squad be gone as well.
Yeah, they won't be there next season. Just to go back then, so Stevenage, as you say, we travel to on. So if they have dropped down to fifth because they are winless in their last five games, although four of those were draws, and talk about the difference between playing teams or teams that have something to play for come the end of the season. Their four draws were with Colchester, Hartlepool, Carlisle and Northampton. It's almost like we planned that. Their defeat was to Salford, so that tells you what you need to know. So they're probably thinking, happy days against nothing to play for AFC Wimbledon with their injury crisis and their average age of 18 or whatever it is currently in the squad. They drew 1-1 at Hartlepool on Monday, which is actually a pretty good result because Hartlepool had proven pretty well. They beat us at Plough Lane in season, as we well remember, when we were, I think we scored first and somehow didn't win. Strange. Interesting that Dan Sweeney and Carl Piergiani continue to be their centre-half pairing. And I think when we look back over our season, we'll see the various combinations we've had perhaps contributing to our inconsistency. And as Harry Pell again said to us before the game on Monday, at that time of our unbeaten run earlier in the season, it was Riley Towle and Paul Cambaye, and it was consistent, and it was pretty much the same 11 for the duration. Just shows you how important it is.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've been down to training ground, been down to Plough Lane for the open training session they had. And it was good to see Paul Cambaye was taking some steps, very few steps, because he's knees in a brace. But he was out, which is good. Obviously, he'd be out for the rest of the season. But yeah, and Nathan Chislett, who I think had a hamstring strain, was great. Nathan Chislett.
Who is Nathan Chislett?
I don't know. Do you know what? Right? You should never multitask. I'm watching a Man United Seville game. And it's not a bad start. And I've obviously got sidetracked because who cares about this season? Four games, just four games. That's all we've got.
I have many questions. Do Manchester United have a player called Nathan?
No. Nathan Broom. That's it, wasn't it? Nathan Broom. Ethan Chislett, who had a hamstring strain.
I was going to say, got two, I'd imagine.
Yeah. But it was training today. And it was good. Yeah. Do you know what? It was lovely at Plough Lane. Although, do you know, it's cold in that West End because the sun just doesn't come over there, does it? It's fresh.
No, that was the happiest day. That's exaggeration. But I was very happy when we learned that the West End, with the stand that we would prefer to have sat in when Plough Lane was built, is the stand that is with its back to the sun, makes watching a game so much easier. So anyway, prediction for Stevenage?
4-4.
You're just copying my style now, Stu. I know I'm a trendsetter.
I just don't overthink it.
Fair enough. I think
we'll lead. I think Addy will score.
Right.
And I think there'll be some ups and downs in the game. I just can't wait for the season to finish.
Oh, I cannot wait. I literally am counting down the days. At least we're down to the last four games. Less than a month away. But I think we will lose. On Saturday, expect maybe a 1 or 2 nil defeat on Saturday, but we shall see. Right, there's a few other things around the club I want to touch on, Stu, but do you want to just do a quick Jackson 5 to remember some happier times? Because Harry Pell interview we did talked about, as you said, momentum of being on winless runs. You never think you're going to lose, and got me thinking of our 78 game unbeaten league run. Between 2003 and 2004.
Yes.
And I was just interested in looking at it. Do you know, Stu, that for our final 62 games in the combined counties league, we were unbeaten? So if part of that 78-game unbeaten run, 62 of them, and therefore our final 62 in the CCL, we remained unbeaten. In that 62-game run, we won 57 and we drew 5. So guess what my question is? Can you remember the opposition for the 5 games we didn't win?
Oh, crikey. Let's have a look. So what teams are in that? Bray?
No, you see. So this is CCL.
No, because that's not even in the CCL.
Yes.
Do you know what's really embarrassing? I look at this blooming... we have... And the director's box where I did a tour, we had the 78 games.
Yes.
And I still can't think of who. Ash United?
No. We beat them all the time.
Wallingford?
That was one of them. We drew 1-1 with Wallingford at King's Meadow.
With Dean?
No. Smash them.
Frimley Green?
No.
Race Park Vale.
No, one more guess.
Bashley. I know we beat them, but I can't think of the other team.
Yeah, we beat them in round one as well. But never mind. Right. One of these games you will remember, the others probably not. All right. So the one all draw with Wallingford was one of them. In the 2003-2004 season, the first league game we did not win that year was tying in nicely with our current predicament. We were 2-0 up away at Sandhurst Town and we threw it away and drew 2-2. And I think we were all quite pleased because we knew the winning run would have to come to an end at some point. So Sandhurst seemed a pretty nice one to lose it to with the history. But anyway, losing leads, as we often used to do. The other one's a 0-0 draw at home to Farnham Town.
Crikey, yeah.
A 0-0 draw at home to Chipstead, because we never beat Chipstead at home.
Bizarre. I was going to say Chipstead, because obviously that was the first home game, well, our first home game in the CCL, and we lost it, didn't we?
Yeah. And the following season, we didn't beat them either. And then the final one, 3-3 draw, I think on a Thursday night at home, with Reading Town. And funnily enough, I do think we were 3-1 down and we got two late goals to equalise. So maybe a Salford-esque kind of resurrection very late on that day. But yeah, so there you go. Reading Town. Did you go to Reading Town? Did you go to the away game at Reading Town?
No, I didn't go.
Colditz.
I didn't go.
Awful. Awful. Well, there was a few, but that one particularly stands out as being really don't want to hang around here.
Yeah, we had a few, didn't we? I remember going to Cove on fireworks night. Yeah, and we scored a couple of early, I think we scored a couple of early goals, and then we just watched the fireworks.
Yeah, it's more fun than it is watching Wimbledon at the minute, to be fair.
That's what we need, don't we, when we come out? Don't get the flags.
No.
Just get the fireworks.
No.
No, that's what probably blow someone up. Anyway.
Right, so we've got about 5 minutes left.
Cool.
Johnny Jackson's tweets. I kind of feel like we kind of have to mention it, but I think we're both of the same opinion on this one, so we won't spend very long on it whatsoever. But I like the phrase offence archaeology. This is what this is. And I think it's a bit of a poor show from a few people that will probably be never spoken of again.
Yeah, do you know what? I think these are going back 10, 12 years. I'm just curious why all of a sudden people are trying to go and find these tweets. They've been there since he's been here for, well, been here for 12 years. I just think it's really sad, you know, in terms of this is he's our manager, but there's a person there, you know, and I just don't get what, look, judge him on the pitch, if you think he should still be here or not, that's up to you, but he's going to be here. I mean, it's going to be obvious that he's going to be here for all the rest of the season, and that's the decision the board have made. But for some people to deliberately go and find these and then tweet them, and I just think it's sad, I mean, honest with you. And hey, look, hopefully he's no longer on Twitter anyway, which is a shame, because it's always lockdown videos with him playing a guitar gone. So that's a shame, but yeah, not impressed.
I mean, it's something, you know, I do this when we've got like 6 minutes left to record, but you know, there's probably a lot of people listening to us that thinking we never really speak about the manager, do we? It's kind of like it's always in the background about people, you know, I mean, the amount of people that would like Johnny Jackson to lose his job is growing and growing, and it's always dropped in on, especially on Facebook, I see after a game, and people really going in hard on him. It's not something we really talk about, and I know that will sort of feed some people's sticks to beat us with about it's official Pravda podcast that won't say anything negative whatsoever about the club or da-da-da-da-da. But it's something we don't talk about at any point. Just very quickly, though, I will touch on it, and I will just tackle the issue from my perspective, Stu, because I think from day one on this podcast, I've been of the same opinion and I've been consistent with this opinion across the whole time. And yes, I'm sorry, I do think time has proved me right about this, okay? No point in sacking a manager every season. And when we sacked Neil Ardley, we set ourselves down this route, because what we did when we sacked Neil Ardley was we said, we're going to be like every other club in the country, and we think that if we consider that we are not doing as well as we should, the person that's going to pay the price is the manager. And it didn't take into any account any other context about this way this football club is funded, about this way this football club has been run, about the people that we've had on the football staff. Many other decisions all comes down to the manager. So no, I don't think We should be sacking a manager. I think we should be planning for this manager going into next season. I think we should adjust expectations dramatically at this football club.
Yeah.
It was lunacy to say that we were going to get promoted this season. Just no concept of the context surrounding the football club, its financial position, its budget constraints, and its mentality coming off a run of 27 games without a win the previous season. So for me personally, if you're asking, are you JJ in or JJ out, I will be consistent as I've always been since day one with this. Manager stays in, get behind him, young manager, he's going to learn. He's got a lot to learn still. He's a very young manager. Let's get behind him, work together. And I reckon next season we're going to be in a lot better place.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that I've been fully behind him the whole season. There's been many times when I've gone, I think that's it. And I've thought that, to be honest with you, recently, but it's not my decision. But what I would say is after the shit show of people trying to find tweets to get him sacked, actually, I'm probably more behind him now than I ever was.
That probably has bolstered me a little bit as well, to be honest with you, because I do, of course, I have my doubts about him, but I always have to remember myself that he's, you know, a manager that's not been managing for 5 minutes and certainly never managed in this division before.
Yeah, and hey, look, we've managed to get Craig Hope in, and that's not just for Johnny Jackson, that's for the future of our club and having a strong stability behind there, and you know, we need to see that. But hey, look, I think he's got a very difficult job. I think we've still got a situation in the next season that if he, you know, loses back-to-back games, I think there's going to be fans that are going to be on his back. And yeah, I think it's sad, but the manager's always the one that the buck stops with, and it's not always that case.
I feel like I've ranted a little bit there. Didn't know where that came from, to be honest with you. Do you know what it was? It was, you're right, it's been spurred by the angst of the finding of old tweets as a stick to beat him with. It's
you know
really
what?
got under my skin.
We've all got skeletons in our closet, haven't we, Joe? I mean, and if anyone's saying they've got stuff on social media that isn't in a bad light or, you know, without context, looks rubbish, then hey, look, but yeah, I think it's sad. I think it's sad. And people nowadays, isn't it? Social media for you.
Oh, it's the society's greatest ill behind Milton Keynes and Watford and certainly Chelsea. Probably owners at Manchester City and the owners at Newcastle as well. I mean, how far do you want to go down this rabbit hole? Not very far. We've got better things to do. But anyway, yes, and this is not to say, by the way, that, of course, throughout the season, there have been times where I've looked at Johnny Jackson and gone, questioned why he's done certain things, decisions he might have made. Certainly going back to the days of Lee Brown and Alex Pearce playing 1-2 for half an hour. Yeah, I think we've all had... It's not saying that he is infallible or that he is perfect, but we're saying, you know, it's not, as you say, Stu, the buck always seems to stop with the manager, and I just don't think it's fair. Anyway, that's probably enough for now. Unless you've got anything you want to add?
No. 4 games to go. Have I mentioned that? 4 games to go.
Feels like a fucking...
Yep. 360 minutes. I'm not really going to work out the seconds. But it probably isn't 360 minutes because injury time, isn't it? But anyway, yeah, 4 games. 4 games to go.
We can do this, people. We can get through it. Together we can get through. And before you know it, we'll all be on the beach in Spain or something else, I know, enjoying the summer, whatever. Anyway, Stu, thank you very much for joining me this week.
Thank you.
Thank you for everybody for listening. Updates from Stephen, you'll be on Twitter at 9YRSPodcast. But aside from that is it. So we shall bid you farewell. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 + 2 = 4. And we shall speak to you again next week.